Well, I thank you a lot for your feedback about one of our guests last week, the senior French diplomat Jean-David Levite. It seems quite a few of you found his analysis of events pretty compelling. Of course, he focused especially on the mood among Western European citizens. But with the 60th anniversary beckoning of the dramatic Hungarian uprising against the Soviets, we'd like this morning to concentrate on the mood in Eastern Europe, the old Soviet bloc, which one European think tank commentator suggested was uniquely dangerous because, and I quote him, a far-right virus has been injected into Europe's political centre, especially over the refugee crisis. Ironically, that crisis in the 50s brought thousands of Hungarian refugees to our shores, who've been particularly successful migrants. Well, now Hungary's right-wing Prime Minister Viktor Orbán is exploiting the modern refugee crisis for all it's worth, scathingly criticising the EU's policies on refugees, and a few weeks back conducting, you might recall, his own referendum on the issue. Mr. Orbán's been a fixture on the Hungarian political scene since he called for the Soviets' withdrawal in 1989. But in recent years, his brand of politics has moved well to the right, far from his liberal beginnings. These days, Orbán wants to build an illiberal democracy in Hungary, his chosen words. He's also declared himself pro-Trump, I might add. For an analysis of developments in Hungary and Eastern Europe, Emilia Polonen, a senior lecturer in political science at the University of Helsinki, joined me recently and I welcomed her.
Good morning.
Tell us more, if you would, about this man, Viktor Orbán, please. How did he come to power and have his views changed much over two decades?
Yes, Viktor Orbán was a young politician in 1989 when the revolution happened in Hungary. And he was very vocal, and a lot of senior opposition members were putting their hopes on him. He established this new party that was the youth party, party of the youth, where the membership was restricted to those under 35. And he branded that party as something against the system. So it was kind of this, what I've been calling this fringe populism. And then he moved and mainstreamed that party to become the biggest party on the right. He's kind of a chameleon in his politics. He likes to change himself according to the times rather than sticking to a set ideology. He's very confrontational.
He's a bit of he's like a rock star, though. He's got an incredible personality, which he uses very much to his advantage. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, he presents himself like that. I mean, some of his idols have been Berlusconi in Italy or then Jörg Haider in Austria. He's been going for these like great, visible, charismatic politicians.
Very interesting. I read that he has to have an enemy. He's very comfortable with a sort of policies where there's somebody who's very much against you, and he mobilises feeling around those sorts of polarised attitudes. He comes from a real agricultural background. It sounds like he had a pretty tough background, actually. And he loathes or has come to loathe what he regards as the elites.
Exactly. And then he's a typical populist politician in that sense that he's always willing to find these enemies. And previously it was the left in Hungary, but the left is not that strong anymore. So he can't see that as an opponent. He also doesn't want to be giving way to the right-wing Jobbik that is emerging, this fringe populist party. And then therefore he doesn't want to be supporting them by having them as an enemy. Instead, at the moment, his enemies are European Union and the refugees.
And the refugees.
So he's still active in Europe and somehow also arguing that he's defending Europe against the refugees, but he's also trying to present an alternative vision for Europe, for European Union and integration.
He clearly thinks that Europe has become sort of soft, weak, vulnerable, although he and his country need the EU money, don't they?
Yes, they do. I mean, that's the reason why you couldn't really envision a Hungarian exit from the EU, because they're really deeply in debt to the EU. They basically live off from that EU funding. So, and a lot of these new building projects in Hungary are partly funded by the EU.
How strongly supported is he then by the Hungarian people in these attitudes?
Well, you could say that half the population has been supporting him. It's something really, really difficult to say because the general attitudes are also moving away from those who have been in power for a long time. His biggest challenge at the moment is really to keep people behind him. The reason why he got a very big landslide victory in 2010 was that people were fed up with socialist liberal government that had been governing for 8 years. In Hungary, 8 years is a long time to govern. And they were also disappointed with them in many ways. So that's how he got a very large victory.
So that therefore, when this referendum occurred and he only got 41% of eligible voters turning out, and his party had to get 50% of the people to the polls, you would have thought, and they failed to do so, was that a real sign in your judgment that things are slightly shifting against him or not?
Well, one couldn't say that all these votes were for Orbán. And in that respect, definitely, you could see that his power is somehow shifting away. His support is withering. But then again, it might be also that Hungarians still like the EU, and especially they like to get these funds from the EU and don't want to be anti-EU. So the vote also could have been interpreted from this perspective.
Could he now be removed by democratic means? Like, if voters are starting to tire of his particular style, he's changed the constitution, he's removed lots of the checks and balances, he's removed a lot of the judges. I mean, it's extraordinary to read. Could he be removed in the normal fashion or not?
Yes, he could. There's still democracy in Hungary. Of course, a lot of Hungarians are worried that there is no democracy in Hungary, that freedom of the press is limited during this Orbán period, and also it's difficult for organizations and opposition and any sort of critique to be voiced. There are different decisions that the government has been making in terms of funding. For instance, even academic journals have been chosen to be funded on the basis of are they pro-government or not. It's a very polarized country, so these things matter. But now, after the referendum, it has become somehow clear that there's some tiredness among the population. But the government in Hungary is also trying to introduce new kinds of maneuvers. Mm. They own a lot of businesses in Hungary, Orbán and the people near him. For instance, they have been closing down a major opposition newspaper. So in a situation where it's difficult to voice alternatives in politics, it's also difficult to see who would be then replacing Orbán. There are two options in a way, that there is something emerging from the opposition that is a new force and can challenge him, or that people just choose any of these existing political forces because they are so fed up with Orbán.
I mean, people have suggested that he and the Prime Minister in Poland, nearby Poland, are really staging a countercultural revolution in Europe, that there's something really quite significant underway that maybe the West, the rest of the West, hasn't quite grasped. What's your view?
Yes, they try to challenge West European values because, of course, in these countries, people were eager to adapt to sort of Western lifestyle when the changes happened after 89. But the similar lifestyle didn't actually appear because you would need prosperity to back it up. You would need some sort of a cultural revolution as well. So now, since East European countries have been lagging behind in some of the developments, this alternative vision that these populist politicians present, which is to challenge the Western values and the Western vision for the EU. And this is a timely call because nobody else is seeming to reform the European Union, even if we know that there are a lot of problems with the EU. So we know that there is some sort of a democratic deficit. This has been discussed. So now from this kind of West European perspective, Orbán is one of the new reformers. Perhaps his reforms are not what we would want to see, but he's at least giving some alternatives to on the table.
All right.
And illiberal democracy is very much backed by some other countries nearby, like Russia and Turkey, for instance. It's a challenge within Europe in a larger sense than just the EU.
Quite. Thank you very much indeed for those insights, Amelia Palonen.
Thank you.
And Amelia is Senior Lecturer in Political Science at the University of Helsinki.